This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. We want to get his thoughts as the President and Vice President offer seemingly contradictory statements about what would be okay and what would not be okay if Israel decides to unilaterally take out Iran's nuclear facilities in order to preserve its existence. And Ambassador, thank you so much for your time today.
I'm very glad to be here.
Well, the Vice President told George Stephanopoulos on ABC's This Week program over the weekend that Israel's a sovereign nation and the U.S. can't really dictate what it would do or not do in terms of acting in its own self-defense. President Obama today clearly saying that he does not believe that the U.S. is giving Israel a green light to attack Iran in any way in a preemptive strike against the nuclear program. How do you read these competing statements?
Well, you know, I thought when I heard Vice President Biden answer that he was making a very clear statement of policy. He was asked three or four different ways to back off what he said originally, and he did not. He stuck to it. He was very clear about it. I think perhaps the administration misread what the impact of the statement would be, and that's why the president today is trying to roll it back.
In terms of Israel's posture, we've heard from different sources now that the prime minister there, Netanyahu, doesn't have any intention of asking U.S. permission if he, in fact, goes forward here towards the end of the year or early next year, perhaps, and acting to take out nuclear facilities. Do you believe that's the right response on his part, or does he need to get some sort of approval from the U.S. to take that action?
Well, I don't think they would ask for approval, especially after the president's statement. But, you know, in diplomatic circles, there's a formula. You say you're informing someone, not consulting them. That is to say, you're not asking what they think. You're just telling them you're about to do it. And I have a feeling that's how we'll hear from the Israelis. They will inform the United States, but they won't consult.
There is an idea here that Israel's apparently agreed to let the diplomatic process play out at least through the end of the year. Are there any signs, based on what you've seen, that there's any sort of progress towards either slowing down or any sort of change of heart on Iran's part regarding the nuclear program?
No, none whatever. And that's why I've felt for a long time, years, in fact, that the diplomatic route was not going to dissuade Iran from continuing to pursue nuclear weapons. And I think that's one reason why Israel, the signals you're getting from Israel are to the effect they won't wait past the end of the year. You know, the Obama administration, I think, is very surprised 5.5 months into its tenure in office that they haven't had a chance to talk to Iran yet. And they thought this would happen long since, especially shortly after the June 12 election, which didn't turn out the way they expected, then the violence obviously makes the whole negotiation process a lot harder. So I think the Obama administration itself is running out of time, and that's one reason why I don't think Netanyahu plans to wait for these negotiations to go on indefinitely.
Ambassador, this could be more of a tactical question, but we know that Israel successfully took out nuclear facilities in Iraq in 1981 and in Syria just a couple of years ago. From what we hear, most of the Iranian program is underground and in various locations. So how difficult is it to actually carry out an effective strike if, in fact, Israel takes that route?
Well, it's a very difficult and risky operation if they decide to do it. But let's not forget that we know exactly where the uranium enrichment facilities are in Natanz. They've been inspected by the IAEA. We know precisely where they are. We know exactly where the uranium conversion facility is in Esfahan. We know exactly where the heavy water production facility is at Arak. We know where the Bushehr nuclear reactor is. That's not to say there aren't other facilities we're not aware of. That's entirely possible. In fact, that's a big risk for all of us. But in terms of some of the critical facilities that we know about, I think we know their location down to the centimeter.
Ambassador, you and I have talked before about what incentives might work with Iran. You've said just again here that diplomacy has not worked and probably won't pay any dividends here over the next several months, the final months of this year. Given Iran now blaming the West for the unrest that took place following the elections, what will work, if anything, short of military action?
Well, I don't see that anything will, and people need to remember, you know, the Europeans have been negotiating with Iran for 6 straight years on this nuclear program. 6 years they have been trying diplomacy. 6 years that the Iranians have known the Europeans were acting as surrogates for Washington. And during that 6 years, the government in Tehran has shown no indication whatever it wants to give up its pursuit of nuclear weapons. So it's not like negotiations are a new idea. Far from it. They've been tried and they have failed. And that's why I don't have any confidence that a new round, especially after the elections, is going to make any difference.
Do you get the sense that there's any hesitation on the part of the Israelis to take the military option if they feel that's the only option left to them?
Well, you know, they've done it before, as you point out, most recently in September of 2007, acting against that North Korea reactor in Syria. But I don't want to underestimate how risky this mission is, the impact it might have. It's got to be a very careful calculation on their part. But I think the central element is when the Israelis think they're threatened existentially, they don't wait to find out whether they're right or not. They take action first.
If, in fact, we're headed towards that end, what would be smart in terms of public pronouncements on the part of the Obama administration in the months ahead when it becomes increasingly clear that Iran has no intentions of backing off the nuclear program?
Well, I think it's important to continue explaining to the people in Iran that that we support them. We do not support the regime. That's why I think the very fact of negotiation with Ahmadinejad and Khamenei, in effect, legitimizes them, undercuts the dissent in Iran, and it's one reason I would avoid doing it. But I think at a minimum, we should keep up our rhetorical support for the dissidents and for the people who really do want representative government in Iran, because we want to be in a position, if the Israelis strike, to make it clear that that was not directed against the people of Iran, but against this regime that's been in power these last 30 years.
Last 60 seconds here with former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. And Mr. Ambassador, as you know, President Obama spent the past couple of days in Moscow meeting with the current president, Medvedev, the former president and current Prime Minister Putin. And there's been a huge difference between our two countries over the issue of Iran. You know that as well as anyone, having been dealing with them at the Security Council. What role could Russia play, if any, in trying to twist the arm of the Iranians here? And how big of an issue do you think Obama is likely to make that with the Russians?
Well, I think it will be a priority, is being a priority for him. But I don't see that the Russians have shown any indication they're prepared to do what's necessary to cooperate with us, really, to bring this nuclear weapons program to a stop. The Russians have enormous commercial interests in Iran. They've flown political cover for them in the Security Council and elsewhere, and I'd be very surprised if they support any move by Obama to tighten up sanctions.
Mr. Ambassador, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, joining us from Rome. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.